Our coverage from the Alltech Agricultural Future Symposium here in Lexington, Kentucky continues as we talk with agricultural advocate and social media guru Michelle Payne-Knoper, talking about where she sees social media going these days and how agriculture can intersect successfully.
Michelle, let's talk a little bit about where we are right now with social media. It's a changing animal. And that means that it's changing in general, and I would think it probably means that maybe there's some tweaking we need to do as far as what agriculture is doing right now. How do you see this thing evolving at this point?
Well, social media really has become a whole zoo full of animals, quite frankly. You look at YouTube, and there's 864,000 videos that are posted in a 24-hour video. There's 850 million people on Facebook. 300,000 messages that are sent on Twitter every day, and now we have 11 million people on Pinterest, the new social media baby, if you will, that's comes in third as far as the channel. So a lot of opportunities, and where we are is we've had some great success stories and be able to connect with people on an individual level, on groups coming together as a community, such as through Ag Chat, and being able to hopefully put a face on agriculture. But I think that the next opportunity really lies in what I put in my last blog post, and that's where I question people, is social media dead in the food and farming discussion? And the answer is no. However, because of information overload, because of the vast amounts of center pivots, as I like to say, of information that people have flying at them every day, it's a real challenge for us to try to figure out how can we get through all the marketing messages. And I think at the end of the day, it boils down to relationships. It boils down to people who are innovative enough to be able to aggregate content, form those relationships, and develop a community around that.
So this isn't a really just a broadcast deal of somebody can start tweeting or blogging or Facebooking from their farm or ranch and just instantly be talking to consumers, right?
Well, it depends what tool you're using. If you're on a Facebook profile, no, you're likely not to be just instantly talking with consumers unless you happen to have a lot of those as friends that aren't on the farm. On Twitter, you'll be instantly talking to mainstream America. If you happen to have a CNN following you, you'll be talking to them. But the secret to realize in social media is one of the things that we talked here at the Alltech Symposium is that it's really about building a community around the purpose that you're serving. You get to determine what your purpose is in social media. And then hopefully you're building a community around that. And the third step, which many folks miss, is to really serve that community, serve them with information, serve them with a firsthand perspective, serve them with opinions, serve them with links and resources that are both related to who you are, but also what purpose you're serving in social media.
Now, your presentation here, one of the things you talked about was the fact that we can really enhance our message when we start throwing images around.
Yeah, I sure did. I actually talked about trying to help people increase their relative feed value since we're talking in animal agriculture. Images are something that we aren't great about sharing in agriculture. We all think we have to have the pretty sunset over the grain bins picture, which I love as well. However, in order for us to really give people a look inside today's farms and ranches, we have to get better at sharing our non-polished, our everyday photos of this is what we're doing on our farm, this is why, this is what we're doing working with our cattle right now, and this is why we're doing it. This is why we're driving a combine down the field, and by the way, this is what it means to you. Pinterest is a great place to do that. I know a lot of men like to make fun of the wedding dresses and recipes on Pinterest, and I get that, but there is actually an increasing agriculture crowd. There is Farms in Rural America Food and Agriculture Group Board that I would invite you all to follow, and we can have you start pinning to that as well. But at the end of the day, it boils down to finding a tool, whether it's your iPhone, whether it's your Droid, whether it's your tablet or your laptop or even a dumb phone, and taking a picture, posting it to Facebook, sharing a caption, getting a video quickly on YouTube, posting something on Pinterest, and really trying to be sure that you are putting a face on agriculture. Because if you're not doing it, then who's going to?
When you think about, you use the word purpose just a few moments ago about, when we start thinking about the type of purpose that you're trying to achieve, how do you choose? How do you really focus in and get to that point where you're going to be able to make a difference because you are focused?
Sure, it's a great question, Ron, and I will share my personal example with you. I'm on social media primarily because of advocacy. agricultural advocacy drives my business and has for 11 years. It's my life's mission. And so what my purpose in social media is to incite, inspire, and inform people about issues around the food plate. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean I agree with everything that I put out there, but if it incites a conversation, then I'm happy. Likewise, if something that I do inspires someone else, or if I can offer words of encouragement or help get groups together, then that also serves my purpose. I think each person has to look down inside themselves and decide what they really want to accomplish. In most cases, I have found with the farmers and ranchers that I've worked across North America with, it comes down to advocacy. It comes down to wanting to protect your right to farm as you best see fit, to take care of your land and animals as you best see fit, instead of having the Humane Society of the United States dictate that for you, or to have other regulatory agencies dictate what you can and can't do. So what I always tell people is, you know, I don't care if you agree if Facebook and Pinterest and LinkedIn and YouTube and Twitter are great tools or not. What I care about is if you're willing to be a voice in agriculture. And if you're willing to do that, those tools have to be a part of the mix. And at the end of the day, just realize that if you're not using those tools, that there's many anti-agriculture activist groups that are more than happy to have a voice in the conversation for you.
Right. We obviously had a supreme example of how things can get out of control for agriculture when we had the pink slime LFTB deal here not that many weeks ago, really. I mean, it just really happened, just blew up, and it's kind of subsided a little bit, but the damage has been done. What do we learn? What did you personally learn about when we got hit with that tsunami?
There's a couple of different key learnings. Number one, I understand actually from Mr. Dorr from Grains Council that was just in talking at the session that there had been some issues identified around, quote, pink slime, unquote, a few weeks prior that were not addressed. I would strongly encourage anyone who is in any leadership position that's out there listening that if you have any issues that come up, please address them early. And a second key learning that I would encourage us all to think about, regardless of what sector you're in agriculture, is to think about the terms that we use. When you think about lean, finely textured ground beef, it's not exactly an attractive term. When you think about genetically modified organisms, that is not a term that we should be using. We should be using biotechnology or technology. And to be thinking through, yes, we have scientific terms like high fructose corn syrup. However, as a mom, if I didn't know what high fructose corn syrup was, and if I didn't have a bottle of corn syrup sitting in my own pantry to bake with, yeah, I'd probably be a little freaked out about feeding it to my child as well. So it's an opportunity to step back and think about the terms and the processes that can scare consumers and get out there and proactively explain them to folks that are on a farm, but also to make sure that the terms we're leading with make sense.
What do you, one last question, as far as where do you see us going over the next couple of years using social media?
My prediction is that social media is going to continue to evolve, and the content aggregation that I had mentioned is going to become increasingly critical. People are about to bust at the seams. We're hyper-connected, over-connected, overstuffed with information. We can't keep up. It's impossible to remember where you have everything coming from. So the reality is that I would imagine that there will be some integration of platforms. I have no idea of what that looks like necessarily. And I simply encourage people to step back and observe what some of the animal rights activists are doing, observe what some of the environmentalists are doing, observe what some of the brands are doing, like a Subway or a Skittles, observe what Whole Foods are doing on Facebook, and learn from those and adapt them. I mean, that's really been the magic behind what I've done, is I sit back and I look at people that are building communities well and serving them well, and then I think, well, how can agriculture collectively adapt that for our own use so that we can have more conversations around the food plate?